So, welcome to the UC Davis Summer Abroad info session and podcast for castles and cathedrals in Northern Britain. I'm Jenny Moylan. I'm the program coordinator for this program, and I'm going to hand the recorder off to Kevin Roddy, who's our instructor.
Well, welcome. I'm really glad that you've decided to investigate this particular program. I've taught it for in 2009 and 2012, so this will be my third time, and I think I got it so that it works out perfectly by now. That's my email address right there. Even though I'm emeritus, I still have my UC Davis address. And something that a student did 2 years ago, which I really admired, was she asked if we could meet for coffee, or in my case, hot chocolate, and just talk about the program personally. And, you know, that was perfect. And I really admired her initiative, because she interviewed some other faculty as well and just got to talk to them about how they saw the program. That is something that you're certainly welcome to. And Jenny is always available. Is there somebody at the door, Jenny? Or is it open? No. Okay, so here's the information. It runs from July 7th to August 3rd. As you'll see from the syllabus, I'll point it out later, we're finished long before the 3rd. We're finished on the last day of July. But that will give you time to pack up or to stick around Durham and do some traveling with the knowledge that all your stuff is safe and you have a bed to come back to all the way until Sunday, August 3rd. We start in York. We spend 10 days in York at St. John's, and then we go up to Durham to spend about 20 days. I do that partly because York, as Ramana has said, is a wonderful place, but my students 2 years ago love Durham. It's much smaller and more intimate than York. York is a big city. A lot of English tourists are there. Durham turned out to be something more fun for the students. There are two courses involved, Medieval Studies 130A, which is GE, and then Medieval Studies 198, which is Directive Group Studies. And the way that works is that you keep a journal, it's not a diary, but it's a journal of what you see and hear and experience at your time. I look at these every week and eventually give you a pass or no pass grade on that. So there's 8 units involved, and part of the cost of the program is, of course, the region's fee on those 8 units. But I really recommend that you pay attention to that journal, because I just finished going back to Florence for a 50-year anniversary. And those of us who kept journals and even sketchbooks were able to show them to other people and to be reminded of how remarkable this kind of experience is. All right, as you notice, the Republic of Ireland has disappeared from the map. But we are up in the north. You can see North Yorkshire, which is the largest shire or county in England. And then right above it is Durham, which is somewhat smaller. As you can see, we are in Northumbria and finally Scotland above that. So it's very far north and somewhat remote from London, which is a very good thing, because London is horribly expensive. Yes, thank you very much. There's London. And
then here's North Yorkshire
and Durham. Yes. In fact, I'm a great believer in geography. So you can see here is a geographical map of York. It's on the Ouse River. I'm always delighted by that, the Ouse. And the Ouse flows eventually into the Humber, which is that large river in the lower right that flows into the sea. So everything north of the Humber is called Northumbria. And you can see, if you sort of blanket out those clouds, that dark brown and green area north of York is one of England's largest national parks, the North Yorkshire Moors National Park, and it's very, very beautiful. In fact, a train goes from Pickering, right at the foothills, all the way up to Whitby, which is way at the top, and it's a steam train. In fact, it's figured in Harry Potter and in the Narnia pictures, too, it's a marvelous trip. And then if you go west from that, directly west, way over to where the you see the Irish Sea is there on the left, right above that, those long dark lines are the Lake District. So we're quite close to the Lake District, which I visited in 2012 for the first time and found them beautiful, wonderful hiking there. We're some distance from other large centers. Some of my students went to Edinburgh, which is to the north, and it's not cheap to get up there, and of course Edinburgh is, like London, quite expensive. So I'm trying to get people to look at things that are relatively inexpensive and nearby, so they can really enjoy this experience. I tell the classes when I go to see them, I don't know if any of you were in any class that I visited, that you will certainly get to London and Paris and Rome in your careers. We're becoming completely international, right, April? I mean, you know, the expectation is if you haven't been there, you will be there many times. But you will have to go on your own to the north of England, and that will be a little bit harder if you have serious work to do. That blue area on the right is, of course, the North Sea. And one of my students from Santa Barbara 2 years ago brought three bathing suits, thinking that she could go swimming in the North Sea because, of course, it's blue and the ocean off Santa Barbara is also blue. She never used it. Hello. Hi. It's good to see you, Mary.
Yeah, nice to see you, too.
And then sit down. We're doing an exercise in geography. Mary is one of my favorite people. She went to Durham for a year, was it?
I've lived there for 2.5 years.
Well, when you originally...
Oh, I studied abroad there for a full year.
For a full year. And then she came back here and was an intern here and a counselor. And then went back and was there getting her degree at the University of Durham. And met a handsome young man. And not that I promise any such thing, but she was there in Durham when we came and was invaluable for showing us around and helping us out. It was wonderful. And here she is back in California, but going back to England?
I think I'll be here for a few years. My boyfriend wants to get married and move here, and then we'll live in the U.S. for a few years and then probably move back to England someday.
We'll see.
Maybe when we want to have kids, because we get a year off from maternity.
Yes, and we have decent health care in Britain. Anyway, here is the city of York, and I'll use my little magic pointer. St. John's College is right. There it is. Uh-huh. Doesn't ring.
Doesn't show too well.
Doesn't show too well. Oh, well. It's right there where it says York. That's York Minster, which is... has been said, just a beautiful church. It's spectacularly beautiful. Then right a little bit north of that is St. John's College. And then if you know how to read this sort of thing, you can see kind of a square coming off to the southeast and northwest from the cathedral and making a rough rectangle. That was the Roman city of York, which was, after London, the most important Roman city in England. And right under the cathedral, they've discovered extensive Roman ruins that are really beautiful. And part of the wall north of the cathedral is actually the Roman wall. But you can see that that larger circle coming off the center of town, that square center, is the Roman wall, I mean the medieval wall for York, which is intact. There's only two cities in England where they have intact walls, and that's Chester and York. Also, well, again, this doesn't show up in this thing, but that little round thing sort of in the middle, a little bit up, is Clifford's Tower, which was built by William the Conqueror to protect York. Anyway, it's a lovely city. Durham is north, so you see how we've moved through that valley. That the Yorkshire Moors, by the way, it's a glacial moraine, which is the last ice age pushed all the way down there and pushed all that gravel and dirt into the moors and then stopped. If you're a Charlotte Bronte fan, the parsonage where she lived for most of her life is in the moors there. I had two students from the Republic of China come, and they wanted to go see the parsonage and tromp around the moors. They loved it, they really did. So there's Durham, and you can see above, just north of Durham, is Wearmouth. The River Wear is snaking its way to the sea. And here is Durham. You can see how the River Wear, that brown thing, sort of circles around the city. The cathedral complex, this is one of the most beautiful Romanesque cathedrals in all of England, in fact, in all of Europe, if you want to push it. It is as beautiful as York is. York is a Gothic cathedral a little bit later. But you can see there's a vast green there, and then a little bit north you see a little round top. That's another round castle built by William the Conqueror. And then to the left of that is the castle complex, and that big white rectangle is a hall, the dining hall, where we'll eat. And then our dormitories will be just below that kind of orange roof there. The same ones as 2 years ago. Yeah, Owen Gate. This is a view from the tower, the central tower of the cathedral. And you can see that the castle to the right there has been fixed up a little bit. This was owned by the Bishop of Durham all the way until the 1830s when he turned it over to the University of Durham. So Durham is one of the oldest non-Cambridge Oxford universities in England. In fact, I think it is the oldest. Anyway, so our classroom is in the castle. And again, that large white roof over there to the left is the dining hall, which I happen to have a picture of. This is the students from 2 years ago. One of them took this picture. Isn't that amazing? This is 15th century dining hall. And the food is pretty good. You've had breakfast there, Mary. It's substantial.
It's a full English.
They bring out the Tabasco sauce when they saw me, because the eggs tend to be bland. But yeah, it's full English. But this is one of the most spectacular things about the Durham, our breakfast in the dining hall. This is the gate to the castle. It's been restored in the 19th century, but still the lower parts are medieval. We'll not only study the Middle Ages while we're there, but also live them. This is a Roman ruin. We go to Hadrian's Wall, and this was the group from last time. This is actually the towel room for a Roman bath. And of course, you know, you have to have receptacles to put your towels and your clothes when you're going into the bath. So there were these little niches, and all 16 of my students were able to either fit in them or sit on top. It's lovely. So we'll go to Hadrian's Wall, we'll go to Chester's, which is very well preserved, Housesteads, and Vindolanda.
Are those on the weekends, or are those during the
class? No, this is during the class. The weekends are entirely yours, and the weekends start Thursday at noon and go till Sunday night.
Yeah.
So you have 3 days, and You know, some, as I say, 2 years ago, some people went to Edinburgh for those 3 days, and that was good. And then the next time they went to London for those 3 days, and that was bad. That just getting down there is very expensive. Staying there, even in a youth hostel, is very expensive. And London is in itself expensive. And then the third weekend, just a few of them this time, went to Dublin. You know, by then they were tapped out. Yes, April.
Have you ever had anyone go to Brighton or in that area?
No, I never have. You know, it's on the other side of London, way down there. What I would recommend is, if you're interested in southern England, to, after you're all finished, take the train down through London to Brighton, to Kent and Sussex. It's lovely. It's beautiful. In fact, you know, it rained every day. That's a warning. It rained every afternoon.
Yeah. It was a bad year.
It was a bad year.
What
yeah,
was
even
that?
The yeah. 2012.
I was there that summer and it rained a lot too.
Yeah. Yeah. Were you in the south?
Yeah. I was all over the UK.
But you went up north as well.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. That's terrific. Did you saw York and?
No, I didn't. I had never been there. I went to Edinburgh. I went to Ludlow. Yeah. I don't know where that is in relation to Durham.
Yeah, it's.
You might have seen it on the train. Durham, yeah. And Durham's really obvious from the train.
It is.
If you're awake or if it's not.
Yeah. If it's not dark, because the there's a valley in between the train station and then the cathedral is up on the hill. It's quite striking. But anyway, yes, Brighton is delightful. Brighton, well, you must have been there, but yeah, it's delightful. The whole south coast is really lovely. And you know, there are places like Cornwall, way in the southwest, that nobody goes to, that are marvelous. Anyway, so we have a number of field trips during class times. When we're in York, because we're just settling in, we'll just have one. But when we get to Durham, we'll have four, I believe. That's all on my syllabus. We had to change things around a little bit as things develop. But the field trips, and we used to have lunches. I changed this this is still York. This is, you can see that the buildings, this is 15th century too. The buildings Durham. Yeah, the buildings are incredibly beautiful. And that little angel statue has been there for 700 years. It's just amazing. Okay, so accommodations at York, we are at St. John's. And Durham, we stay at the castle grounds at Owen Gate. Internet is yes, but I should add a caveat that sometimes England is a little bit shaky about the internet. And one of my students in her room did not have it, and we tried to figure out why the Wi-Fi wasn't working, but she was able to sit in another person's room. We used to say not to bring your computers, because in the old days computers were large and bulky, and you could drop it or have it stolen or something like that. Now that they're smaller, there's no problem whatsoever. If you're chary about it, there will be computers in that building there, as a matter of fact, six computers. That's part of the hall building inside the castle close. Six computers that are available to you. And laundry is done all on site, both at York and at Durham. Airfare, we recommend flying into Manchester because flying into Heathrow is a big hassle, because then you have to take a train into Paddington Station, and then you have to take a tube to King's Cross Station. You're probably carrying your luggage, so it gets to be a real problem.
Is there like a certain flight that you guys like recommend, or I mean, we do that all ourselves.
You do that yourselves. We work through STA, and they do pretty well at things. Manchester's a little tricky. Often you have to fly into Philadelphia and then from Philadelphia to Manchester. So it's a little more expensive than flying into Heathrow, but the train from London to York, unless you get a deal, is between £200 and £300. Now again, that's $1.64 today. Yeah, to, and you know, England is the size of California. So, you know, if you took the train, even though you're going to spend 24 hours on it, from, say, Red Bluff to Los Angeles, you wouldn't pay $500. But they.
Is that close to like the price of like the Eurail or the BritRail?
Well, again, on my site, I explained that the BritRail for just a few trips is not worth it. But if you're traveling extensively, either before or after the trip, then yes, it is worth it. And some of my students in 2012 had them and measured them out so that they could go to London on the long weekend. So they didn't have that extraordinary expense. But as I say, London itself was quite expensive. We will be giving you in May, right, Jenny, if you decide to sign up for the program, we'll be giving you extensive instructions on all your options at that time.
Yeah, we have a pre-departure orientation where all the students who are going abroad that summer get together for one day, and we break out into sessions with your instructor and just go over all the logistics, you know, from packing to how to get there to, you know, what the itinerary is on a day-to-day basis.
Great. Okay, so this is Jenny's bailiwick. So it's all yours.
All right, thanks. So in terms of fees and funding, this is all available on our course webpage. Whoops, I can't see the mouse. Is there a mouse?
Yeah, there is a mouse.
Do you guys see him?
But I don't see it either. Somewhere. Anyway, I think I can see it.
All right. So I'm just going to escape and go to the internet so that we can find. Oh, well, maybe this will work. No, this won't work. Okay, so if we just go to UC Davis Study Abroad. Oh, it's not finding a signal. All right. We'll just close. I'm not familiar with, oh, here we go. It's on the screen. So I'm just going to switch over computers.
Good idea.
So if you go to the UC Davis Study Abroad webpage, there's a unique webpage for each program. And if you plow through it, you'll find the fees and funding link on the right-hand side. So for this program, your course fee for your 8 units of credit will be exactly the same as it would here on campus. So this is just paying for your units. There's also a $500 summer abroad fee. Your $300 deposit gets applied to this when you go through the application process. We also have what's called an accommodations and services abroad fee. And this is what Dr. Roddy was talking about, that it's really quite affordable. This comprises basically your rent while you're there, quite a few meals, and your transportation to all of your field trips and admission to your field trips. If you want to see a complete list of everything that's included, it's right here. Like we were saying before, breakfasts are typically included with accommodations in England, and it's a really hearty breakfast. Not say a French baguette and coffee. taken together, the fees that will be charged to your student account are these. You are charged a summer campus fee, even though by definition you are not here. We, as a service to students this year, we're making an effort to give you an estimate of what you'll need to plan to spend on your own. And as you see, because meals are provided quite a lot of the time with this program, we're estimating that you'll need about a little less than $400 for meals on your own. We also made an estimate of what you'll need for books and for getting from the airport to York. And this is an estimate for round trip airfare. So when you put it all together with the fees that are charged to your account, this is the total that we estimate this program will cost for students. And I want to make sure that you know that that your financial aid will travel with you, as well as we have study abroad awards and scholarships available. You can look at those on our webpage too. That's in a section called that starts with students, and you come down to finances and scholarships. If you're going to talk to the financial aid office, what I recommend is you print out the previous page that I was just showing you and walk over to them and say, this is the program I'm planning to go on. This is exactly what it's going to cost me. How can I get packaged? My general advice to you is to be at the financial aid office on the day that summer financial aid becomes available, because it's limited and it can run out.
What day does it open?
I'm not sure, but it's comparatively late in the process. So you're basically going to need to make your plans based on their advising and then apply the day that it's open. You can go ahead and fill in your FAFSA ahead of time.
Okay. But it's not first come, first serve, is it?
It basically is, because the way they generate money for the summer is what doesn't get used during the rest of the year. So they don't actually have a way of predicting how much will be available to them in the summer.
So it's probably like May.
I'll have to look up the exact date. I'll give you my card so I can be in touch. I also want to make sure that you know about our travel award. We're super proud of this. For summer abroad, we're going to be giving away $80,000 in study abroad awards this year. And that's basically based on a competitive essay. You write about yourself. What are your goals professionally or personally or academically? And how does this program match up with your goals? We're really invested in you guys writing a good essay. So we'll even have workshops available on how to write a strong essay. Any questions about fees and funding? So just to remind you, there are quite a few things that are not included in your fees. Whoops, sorry. The travel, your airfare and airport transfer and incidentals, your books, any personal travel that you might do during the program, and any sort of entertainment, like I don't know if you're going to be wanting to go out to the pubs every night, or if you have a great taste for, you know, rare books that you might want to pick up on the way, that you'll need to plan on your own. And also, the way we'll provide insurance for you, but the way it works is you need to be able to pay your fees up, your medical care up front, and then you get reimbursed from the travel insurance. Our enrollment period is actually already opened. It was really exciting here last Wednesday. We had a line out the door. The first person was here at 4 in the morning. Our enrollment package is pretty comprehensive. There are quite a few things that you'll need to get together. So we call our enrollment system first completed, first reserved. And that means once you've completed all of these steps and brought in your package, then we'll reserve a spot for you in the program. So it's not competitive in the sense that we would take a student with a 3.1 over a student with a 3.0, but it is, it's really just based on completing the steps of enrollment. A word to the wise is, if you're thinking about enrolling, to go ahead and sign up for a health clearance, because that it takes student health a little while to work through the process of giving you your health clearance, and you don't want to get too far behind in that.
No, that's all online, because I think I did.
That's all online. It's very straightforward. Okay, it's just a matter of getting started.
Yeah, okay. I got some need on that. So.
And I assume that you guys have all started your enrollment, because otherwise I wouldn't have known how to contact you. But you'll want to go to the Summer Abroad webpage and create a Summer Abroad profile, and from there it'll walk you through the steps that you need to enroll. Are there any questions about logistics?
Those are quite good figures for costs. And what Jenny was talking about, people going to pubs, that can evaporate your funds, even though it's relatively inexpensive.
Yeah.
Going out, £16, but then that becomes $25 that, you know, and, you know, whenever we go on a field trip, we will, I'll tell you to bring a lunch, you know, because when we've gone to English pubs for a pub lunch, it takes 2 hours for English service.
Especially with 20 people.
We have 20 people. So, but when you come home for dinner, you'll have your dinner paid for in York or Durham. So, you know, there are at least 4 or 5 paid for dinners, including the welcome dinner and the farewell dinner. Okay. So, just be a little wiser about, you know, if someone says, hey, let's go out for a drink, realize that, you know, that's less money that you might need to go to a museum or to buy something nice for your folks.
So we're here year round at the Study Abroad office at the corner of 3rd and A Street. So you're welcome to come by wherever you are in your process. If you're thinking about what program you like to go on and you want to ask particular questions about the program, or if you're getting ready to walk over to financial aid and you want to come by and meet with us and make sure you got the details all straight, if you're applying for your study abroad award, we welcome you to come by at any time and talk with us about how to get going on the program. Yeah. Any last questions? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Think about it. I'm glad you've shown some interest in this. And I really mean it about contacting me and saying, you know, can we get together over at the union or in Todd Forest or something like that? And just chat about what you're interested in, what you'd like to see. Maybe you're Bram Stoker fan of Dracula. Well, it turns out that the ship that brings the thing to England lands in Whitby, and Bram Stoker knew Whitby very well, and a lot of his book is about Whitby. So it's easy to get to, and it's a charming seaside city. So we can talk about that. And if you know you want advice about places that you can go and really enjoy those 3 days that you have on the weekend, the Lake District is not that far away. It's a short train ride across that middle section of England, and it is very, very beautiful. If you love hiking, it's fantastic. We did a lot of hiking there. So do think about that. You know, we hope to get, you know, a good 20, 21 students. And that still means that we can find out about you personally and be able to help you.
Do you know how many are enrolled as of now?
I'm sworn to secrecy on that topic.
Yeah.
It since we just opened on Wednesday, it takes a little while for the dust to settle and all the packets to get processed.
It's always uneven too. There's a large number that sign up at first, and then people have to, you know, do all the work that they need to prepare, and then Then it picks up again a little bit.
If you want to look at the course webpage, on the right-hand side on the overview page, currently it says status open, and that will change to limited availability and then fully enrolled as time goes along.
And do you guys update that regularly?
Like I said, the processing of packages of enrollment packets is manual, and so it takes a little time, so it can reflect like packets that actually came in a few days ago.
The chances that the class can be canceled because of low enrollment are nil. The class will go forward with a smaller group or a larger group, but it will go forward. So that is something if you're concerned about that. Could you get my webpage up there?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So this is one of the nicest things about this instructor is that Dr. Roddy has thought through this program in great detail, and he provides a super amount of detail on his personal webpage. And is there something particularly you want
just
to be shown?
Just move down a little bit. You can see that I have, there's
Mary. Hello, Mary.
That's her video.
So I sort of set this program up when I was a student at Davis.
Yes, right. So she'll
you can see
encourage
my laundry
you.
Hamper in my
yes. Yes. And, you know, as you can see, there are lots of links telling you about Durham and Durham Cathedral. And if you go down further, the information session, which is today, and the podcast will be online. So we have the old one there that will be replaced. And then when we have our May meeting, we'll have a podcast of that. And then the important dates, if you keep going down, Jenny. You can see the whole syllabus is here. The reading is not there because the book I want to use, I think I want to put it online so you don't have to lug it around. So that is what I'm working. But you see there's the Manor Castle on the 14th of July, Bastille Day, Fountains Abbey.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. Best ruins I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, we'll have Pat Busett doing that again. Hadrian's Wall when we're in Durham because it's quite close. Alnwick Castle, the English. Don't you love it that word is spelled, it's pronounced Alnwick. It has, or Annick, yeah. There's a Harry Potter scene there, the broomstick riding. And at Durham Cathedral is the cloister, and it's also in Harry Potter. So we go to Alnwick and Warkworth up in the north. I don't know if we're going to make Bamberg. It's a 3-hour walk back and forth.
They have a zip line, though.
They have a zip line?
Yeah.
Oh,
they do have a zip line on the beach. It's right on the beach, so you can make fake sandcastles next to the real castle.
Okay. Anyway, in Middleham Castle is Richard III's favorite castle. Bolton Castle was where Mary, Queen of Scots, was kept for a while while Queen Elizabeth was trying to decide what to do with her. Richmond Castle is John of Gaunt's castle. John of Gaunt was Chaucer's patron. All of these are in marvelous condition. They're just marvelous. They're not ruins in the sense that you think of. Bolton is still, in fact, inhabited. So it's really an amazing place. And then Finchel.
Yeah.
Finchel, yeah. It's a short trip from Durham. I want to have a picnic out there because it'll be the second to last day of class and just enjoy, which is a lovely little priory on the Weir River. Just neat, but it, kind of a kumbaya.
I've run there and back before.
Yeah, we could run
four
there.
Four and a half miles each way.
If you want to run there.
You need some snacks.
But well, there's a restaurant there.
Is there?
Yes, it's quite nice, yeah. Anyway, that'll be paid for too, and then we'll have our farewell banquet in Hatfield College in Durham, which is nice. So you see, it's a very packed month here that we have with the field trips and everything else. And as you see, our last class is the 31st, but you can stay in Durham to the 3rd. And that was very nice of Durham University to allow that. So again, packing up is always a problem, and you might want to have that extra weekend to see some more, because, you know, basically in the academic month, there are only three long weekends, so this makes it a fourth. I hope you can enjoy that. So, and then if you scroll down a little bit more, Jenny, you can see that that I talk about the paper that will be expected out of you. There will be one version of it due in 2 weeks, and the final version will be emailed to me after you get back here. And then the notebook, the research journal, I've already described. So that will be the academic side of things. And a little bit further down, you can see I've tried to find as many online sites as possible for all the places, not only that we're going to visit, but places you might be interested in. York has a center of early music out in St. Margaret's. I mean, you haven't been that far into York, but it's a medieval church that's been turned into a performance hall. That's quite nice. All of this is just so exciting. And then, as you can see, here is flying into Manchester. If you're in Europe already, you might want to fly into Leeds, which is a very large town near York. And there are inexpensive flights in Europe. And then I give you your British Rail, where your passes are, and even the BBC weather. But it's going to say chance of rain.
Don't check it for the next month. It's
That would be discouraging.
Oh, it's been horrible.
But let's hope that'll mean good luck for you guys
right
over the summer.
And then currency, the pound is a little bit high historically. It's 164. It generally is around 160. So I'm going to be watching that to see if it can come down a little bit. I think it will. I think it's overvalued right now. So, and then the problem of phones, you guys are smarter than I am about phones. What I have is a European phone that I use when I'm over there, and that settles things. But if you have lots of questions about that, I think you might be able to get on the internet and see what, because it's constantly changing.
I think
every year.
O2 is a good network to have. It used to be Orange. I can tell you guys if you have questions, I'll give you my email address.
Yeah, well, I have Orange and it's still good.
Yeah, Orange. Oh, is it? It was really bad for service in Durham for 1 year that I was there.
But
so
I
had to change providers.
When I was in Italy, you know, I said, gee, I wonder if Orange works in Italy. And it did. The British phone company working in Italy. So you can see we try to cover as much as possible, so you're aware of what's going on. I wouldn't bring three bathing suits personally, though they were small, so they didn't take much room in her luggage.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up in case you guys need to get to a 1 o'clock class. But thank you all so much for coming, and we'll be here for a couple more minutes if you have any questions.